Our scripture lesson for this morning. Okay. Thank you. Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Again, that's Matthew 20, 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, why are you standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first. And the first will be last. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, I want to tell you a quick story from my past. Generally, these I don't come out too well in, but this one I actually do okay. So, when I was in undergrad, I was a freshman, and everybody is up in arms about elections, right? Well, people are upset about things, and they're, oh, I don't know how I can ever get along with people, this, that, and the other. Well, back in 2000, we had a very contentious one as well, didn't we? Like, it wasn't over on election night. You remember hanging chads and all that kind of stuff, right? And people were upset, and people were throwing around epithets about one another. And yet, when I mention that election, you react with laughter, right? So it takes time. But even things that seem like they're the end of the world at the moment are not always the end of the world, right? When we have some time to think on them. That's not the story. It's just something that came to mind. So the story is this. After that election, there's always inauguration for the incoming president. So President Bush had his big parade, and the second President Bush, I'm not that old. The second President Bush had his big parade, and he called on, they had to have one act from each state. And so being at the University of North Carolina, apparently we had some high-level staffer in the administration, somebody that needed a favor. Okay. And so they put our marching band in the parade. And so me as a freshman in college got told, hey, we're going to Washington, D.C. in the middle of January. Super fun. And you get to march in the inaugural parade. And we were all really excited until we realized what the weather was going to be like. And so we went up there, or we were getting ready to go up there, and we said, the band director came to us, Mr. Fuchs, and he said, okay, y'all, we have to learn how to march in a parade, because we didn't do that in college. And then we all said, oh, we did it in high school. He said, no, you've got to actually learn how to march in a real parade. And so, he's like, this is not, the Spruce Pine Christmas parade. This is a real thing. And so we all went down to the parking lot of the Dean Dome. And he said, okay, everybody, line up. And he told us where to go. And it was in a kind of an accordion pattern. So if you were a trumpet, you were here in the middle, right? There were drums, then there were trumpets, and there were this and that and the other. And on either end was my instrument, the trombone. Okay, the coolest people in everything, right? And we got to be in the front or the very back. Okay, being a freshman, myself and a couple of my friends, we said, we're not even going to fight this. We're going to the back. So we went to the back of the line. And these juniors and seniors and sophomores all ran to the front to try to cram into the line, right, to the front of the line. And some of them had to come walking back, sadly, to come join us, right, in the back. And so Mr. Fuchs looked at us and he says, "Everybody happy with where you are?" "Oh, yeah, we're really happy." I said, "Okay, turn around." And so those of us who had chosen to be in the back were suddenly in the front row for the inaugural parade. And so we learned a little bit of a biblical lesson that day, that the last were first, very, very specifically that day. How do you think the people who had fought to be in the front felt? Not so hot, right? Okay. So it's very much like that in this parable, right? Jesus is telling a parable about laborers in the vineyard. And I want to tell you, just give you a couple of things out of this scripture, okay? So first of all, we have the sermon title is called Economies of Grace. And when we look at our world around us, the economy is always a big deal, isn't it? Right? Back to presidential elections, right? Both sides are going to run on the economy, aren't they? You'll remember President Clinton's slogan was, "It's the economy, stupid," remember? Everybody wants to talk about either mine is better, yours is better, my plan is better, right? And the whole point of the economy is that there's money that's floating around. Who gets a piece of it? How much of a piece do they get of it, right? And different people agree on or disagree on different aspects of all that kind of stuff, right? But at its, when you just boil it down, right? When we talk about the economy in money terms, what we're saying is there's not enough for everybody. And so some people get a lot and some people get a little or nothing, right? If we really want to boil it down, who gets more, who gets less? And who usually gets less? That's good, right? The little people, right? Who gets less are the people who are judged to be less important, right? Sometimes that less important is because of your position, right? Okay, well, you do a manual labor job, and so you don't get paid as much. Or you live in a certain place where we don't have to pay you as much, so we're not going to pay you as much, right? Or, you know, you might look different. You might be female as opposed to a male, right? In which case, you're going to get paid less, right? These are all things about around which our economy works. And the general process is you pay somebody the least you can possibly pay them so that they don't leave, right? And you've probably experienced that as an employee somewhere. You're thinking, "Wow, yeah, thanks a lot. You gave me, you know, some free water today, you know." But that's kind of what is rewarded in our system, isn't it? Make as much money for the people who invested by paying the people who work for you the least, right? And so, why is it that, you know, employers will hire you for 21 or 19 hours in a week? Because if they pay you more than that, if you work more than that, they have to pay you better, right? Or they have to give you more benefits or whatever, right? Why do they not hire 18 people instead of 9 full-time people? Because they can pay those folks less, right? That is the world that we live in. And I'm not trying to trash anybody or any group. You just know that that's how it works, right? We wish it didn't work that way many times, I think. Unless maybe you're, you know, running a Fortune 500 company, in which case you're perfectly fine with it because you're making a lot of money off of it, okay? But normal folks say, "Man, wouldn't it be better if people were paid commensurate with the work that they do?" Right? That just doesn't happen in our economy. Our economy, again, says, you get paid for what I think you're worth. Okay? And so in that hasn't changed all that much from Jesus' day. Notice that you have this in this story. There's the landowner who's going out to hire people. And he goes out and he hires people in the square. These are day laborers. They're just hoping somebody will hire them. And he says, "Hey, come work for me and I'll pay you the usual rate." Great, we have a job today, right? What's that money going to go to? It's going to go to feeding their families, right? It's going to go to keeping a roof over their head. It's going to go to keeping them warm at night, those sorts of things. And they're excited because they have that money that they need to keep themselves and themselves and their families in good shape. And then the landowner goes out at 9 o'clock, and there's more people there, and he invites them in. And then at noon, and at 3, and then at 5 o'clock, and there's still more people out there. What does that tell you? There's a lot of people that need work, right? And most of the people hiring don't consider those folks worth employing, right? We don't know what the deal is in this story, right? We know it's a parable, so it's not like a factual thing that happened, but we know that Jesus is drawing from what he experienced, right? You know, he had gone through towns and he'd seen in the square laborers waiting to be employed for that day, right? And then imagine how frustrating it must have been to be out there until 9 and noon and 3 and 5. I don't know about you, but I would have gone home. Right? There's another economic thing called opportunity cost. And the idea of opportunity cost is that what could I be doing during this time? Right? So I might be able to be doing something that's more profitable to me than standing in the square hoping against hope that somebody will hire me for an hour. And yet those people stayed. Why? Because they had no other option. They stayed because they needed to work. And so this landowner comes and he says, yeah, come on, each time, come on and I'll pay you what's right. And they go and they get to the vineyard and they work. Whether it's 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, 12 hours, however long they work, they work. And then when it comes time to settle up, they all get paid the same. Who feels good? Those guys that got out there at 5 o'clock, right? They feel great, right? They say, oh, I'm so glad I didn't go home, right? I'm so glad I waited until 5 o'clock. The people who worked all day are upset because it's not fair, right? And it's not fair, except what happens the next day when somebody who was there at 5 o'clock gets hired in the morning. And the guy who's there, who was worked all day, isn't able to make it out because his child is sick and he's been taking care of him and he doesn't get out until 3 o'clock and he gets hired at 3, then suddenly this is a great system, right? So we have we're talking here about a different economy. This is not the way you should run your business if you want to make the most money, right? This is the sure and certain way for a hostile takeover by the board of directors. Except Jesus says this is how the vineyard owner does things. Who is the vineyard owner? God. Jesus loves to use the vineyard owner as his father, right? And so the vineyard owner says, you know what? I pay what I want to pay when I want to pay it because it's mine. Amen. And I can be as generous as I want to be. And I can hire as many people as I want to hire. And they can work for 10 minutes and I'm still paying them because it's mine. And so at first, if you're looking at this as money, you say, well, that's still really not fair to the first people who are working. But here's the deal. Jesus isn't talking about money. He's talking about grace. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about participation in the kingdom of God. Yeah. And that if you are working from the very beginning, let's say you've been a cradle Christian. You never remember a time in which you weren't sitting in a pew. You never remember a time in which you weren't, that you didn't believe in Christ. You never remember a time in which you weren't serving, right? That's wonderful. And you know what you get paid? Everlasting life. You get paid grace. You get paid the blessing of being a part of the family of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, what a wonderful gift, right? But maybe you're somebody who spent a lot of time chasing down other trails, wandering into places you shouldn't be, following false gods, and you've only recently come to work in the vineyard for the Father. Guess what your salary is? Everlasting life, membership in the family of God, grace. What a wonderful blessing, right?
Amen.
So you may be somebody who Jesus likes to do these types of things. Jesus and God like to choose people who don't fit the bill, right? if you go out at the first thing in the morning and you've got strapping guys who are look like they're, you know, they got big muscles, big football players, you're going to hire them to work in your field first, right? But then you got some scrawny dude over here who looks like he's going to hobble his way onto the into the vineyard and not do all that much. The Lord chooses all. Think about the people that God chose. God chose Jacob. God chose Abraham, an old dude, right? Like 100. Like, I'm not just, you know, throwing around ageism here. He was 100. And God chose him to be the father of the people. God chose Moses, who had such a temper that he killed the dude, right? God chooses David, who was a little kid. God chooses Peter and James and John and Matthew, who was a tax collector and fisherman and all these things, right? He chooses political revolutionaries who would rather stab somebody than work with them, right? He chooses, that's Simon the Zealot, by the way. He chooses all these other people to follow him, and he chooses you and me. Jesus picks those people who got left out, passed over, not picked, amen, over and over again.
Thank you, Lord.
That's who the Lord chooses. The Lord does not pick. And I can vouch for this. The Lord doesn't choose people to follow him or to work for him based on how good we are at stuff. Right? Yeah. The Lord doesn't choose us because we're polished. Jesus is not in the business of polishing up diamonds. Jesus likes to find us lumps of coal and do work on us. Right? That's the beauty of it. Think of the people in your life who have been wonderful examples for you in how to follow Jesus. You look at them and you see them gleaming examples of what it means to be a Christian. But I bet if you asked them, they had a lot to learn to get to that point. And I bet if you ask some of these seasoned workers who have been in the vineyard for a really long time, they're going to say to you, yeah, it's taken me a long time to figure some of these things out. You should have seen me win, right? That's the beauty of the economy of grace that God uses.
Amen.
Is that God doesn't look at us based on what our value is to how much money we can make, how good we are at something, how pretty we are, how strong we are. The Lord looks at us based on whose we are, that we belong to God. Because even before we could ever think or speak or do anything, whether we were good at something or bad at something, that we already belong to God. And we get to find our way into that story. What a wonderful thing to be one of the 5 o'clock laborers. But also, what a wonderful thing to be somebody who's worked there all day, right? When you're working all day in the vineyard, you're getting to see the work of your hands change the soil. You're getting to see the work of your hands produce these beautiful grapes, right? That may become wine, that may just be grapes that can become wonderful, amazing things. And you helped to do it. So if you're one of those 9-to-5 workers for the kingdom, what a wonderful thing it is to get to be a part of it for a long time. And please remember that the unfairness of Christ is something to celebrate. That grace that is offered freely to you and me is offered to those who are coming at it late. Is offering to those who didn't get picked. Who's offering to those who this economy would tell, you get a nickel. Instead, the Lord says you get everything. Why? Because I don't see you as a piece. I don't see you as a way to make money. I don't see you as a means to an end. I see you as a beloved child. And so we get to work together in that economy. So let's pay that sort of grace forward. You ever had that experience where you've been in the drive-thru and somebody's paid for your meal in front of you? Right? Doesn't that feel nice? What do? You pay for the one behind you, right? So because you've been given something, you then share it on to the next person. Well, but folks, we have all been given wonderful grace. We have all been given that daily salary that we don't deserve. And so then we get to give grace to all the folks around us when they hurt our feelings, when they frustrate us, when they are doing dumb things, when they're chasing after the wrong gods. We can say, I used to be there. Amen. Guess what? I got somebody who wants you to work for him. And then we can all work together for the same salary. No tears, no the junior partners and senior partners, none of that, but just being in the family, being in that economy of grace.
Amen.
Amen?